Welcome to the Home Project Podcast, where we talk about cultivating a thriving home and developing meaningful relationships. I'm Kelsey Harris, a therapist in training.
And I'm Alicia Anderson, an intentional homemaker, helping women feel confident and authentic home life.
This is where everyone has a seat at the table.
Today, I'm starting with something that is appropriate because I'm a mother. I'm going to start with some mom jokes. If we can have dad jokes, like, why can't we have mom jokes, right?
I agree.
So, what do you call a mother cow that just gave birth?
I don't know.
Decaffeinated. Okay.
Wow.
Well, that was special, right? I think
the next one is also your joke.
Okay. Mom's recipe for iced coffee, since we're on the coffee train. One, have kids. Two, make coffee. Three, forget you made coffee. And four, drink it cold. I think that's where iced coffee actually probably
you
came
think from. A mom.
Yeah,
probably.
Some mom was like, you know what? I'm sick of drinking cold coffee. I think I'm just going to turn this into an iced drink. Why not?
I think you're right. How about this one? If a child refuses to nap, are they guilty of resisting arrest? Okay, yesterday when I was looking these up, this one made me belly laugh. It was so funny.
It is. So here's also a fun fact about Kelsey.
Oh, geez.
Can I say this?
Sure.
When you were little?
Sure.
So obviously she's a grown adult now, so this is not still the case, but maybe it is. When she was little, she hated taking a nap. Now, full disclosure, I also hated taking a nap because I was always afraid of missing out. So maybe that's part of the 2 Enneagram a little bit. Like, we don't like to miss out. But if I said to her, Kelsey, you have to take a nap, she would have a full on meltdown. However, if I would say you do not have to sleep, you just have to rest your eyes, within a matter of minutes, the girl would be out cold. True story.
You know what? That is true today, actually.
Yeah.
Because I don't, right now, if I take a nap and then I wake up from a nap, I feel sad and confused.
Yeah, so like, you just don't want to take a nap.
But if I'm like sitting on the couch and then I just happen to fall asleep for a few like minutes, then I feel fine.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I just don't.
It's just weird.
Naps sound good in my head, but then in reality, I'm like, it just feels like a waste of time, which I know isn't really true, but.
Hear that. Okay, I have one more joke.
Okay.
Good moms let you lick the beaters after making brownies, but great moms turn them off first. See, that one really is funny.
I'm thinking of all the times.
Would your tongue just
you
die?
Were begging me for the beaters to lick the beaters. Like, that's funny.
You know, and now as an adult, I don't really lick my own beaters that much. Like when I make.
That sounds awkward.
Okay, well, to be fair, the only thing that I really use the beaters for are making whipped butters that I sell. Oh. So I'm definitely not licking those because.
Yeah. Would be unprofessional.
It'd be very unprofessional. And also, that's just gross. I don't want to just lick plain butter or like flavored
that's
butter.
One of my siblings actually used to like to eat butter out of the container.
What?
Yes. I won't disclose
you
names.
Don't, yeah, don't.
I haven't been given permission.
But don't do that, but I want to know after.
Would be, yeah. Would be one of my youngest sisters. So she okay. would literally love, like, just liked butter. She went
you
through
know,
season, so.
I understand.
Maybe that's what her body was craving.
Grass-fed bread or butter?
Yep.
That stuff's good.
Nice. Well, today we are talking about our relationship, Kelsey and myself, as adult mother-daughter relationship and how we have progressed. And even just some of the mistakes as a mother that I made looking back. And I never want to give the perception that we have it all together and we do it all right. Because honestly, we're all an authentic journey. And that's really the whole point of the Home Project, is to be able to talk about our journey, but also to just come alongside you and say, hey, you're not alone in your journey.
Yeah.
But also, if there are words of encouragement and advice that we can offer from what we've learned, then we want to share those things with you.
Yeah. Just talking about, you said it, how to be friends with your adult kids. How do you transition from you're my mom and you tell me everything to do, and then I'm like, screw you. I can make my own rules, but then how do we have relationship past that?
Yeah.
And like you said, definitely not perfect.
We've had some bumps along the way, haven't we?
We get mad at each other and have emotional conversations at coffee shops or whatever.
Yeah, like we do.
We've had those recently, so don't be fooled.
Yep.
But I think just to start off, we wanted to give an overview of kind of like things that we do now that we view as like, this makes us pretty healthy.
Yes.
And what we've worked for. So the first thing we do is embrace those uncomfortable conversations. Sometimes definitely takes us a few days of like, yes. Oh, you kind of rub me, like maybe mom rubbed me the wrong way. And then I'm like, ugh, I don't want to have a whole big discussion. So I wait like a week or something. And then it kind of comes up and then we're like, oh, okay. Like just being honest, even though if it doesn't feel comfortable, like, hey, this actually kind of made me feel like this and blah, blah, blah. Going over that.
I think the goal of those conversations too is that the goal is connection. We want to be closer. We want to have a stronger relationship. So that does mean being willing to have those uncomfortable conversations, to talk about the things that feel tough or that we've hurt, where we've hurt each other, or even like old mindsets, like maybe ones that I've had or how I've perceived you or vice versa. And like how we can talk about that and talk that through and give each other the grace in that space. So
I think it's also recognizing that the enemy really doesn't like when families are united and like trying to recognize those moments we have as, oh, okay, this is the enemy trying to get between us. Not that there aren't valid feelings that happen in the process, but if we have these uncomfortable moments and then I'm coming back to you and talking about it, we're getting back to that unity.
Yes.
Rather than, oh, my mom hurt me, so I'm not going to talk to her for 6 months.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's a really good point. And I've been studying a lot on forgiveness lately. God's just been taking me through a journey. And it's really easy if we don't deal with this stuff to allow things to kind of stack up against each other without even maybe recognizing it. And I think just the importance to show compassion to one another and grace.
Yeah.
And I will say, as the mom, I don't always have the right answer for Kelsey as an adult. Like, I know sometimes we feel like, oh, that's our right. I'm the mom. You have to listen to what I say. But I don't view it that way. I view it as we're in a relationship and a friendship, and I don't have it together all the time. I don't have all the right answers. And there are many, many times where you bring value to me. You share wisdom with me. And I love that it's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street, you know, the wisdom that you impart to me.
Yeah.
Because I've postured my heart to like learn from you, not just even in practical things like sourdough, which I'm, you know, learning how to make sourdough because Kelsey is so good at it and I've shied away from it. That's just a practical thing. But there's a lot of areas, even just spiritually, emotionally, all the things that we've had those hard conversations and that you've, you know, brought some wisdom.
Yeah. Which is so special of you. Like, that's not always common either, is under like getting to a place where you feel like you can receive anything from your kids. And not that I know a whole bunch to give you, but I appreciate that you recognize areas that I have worked hard to grow in that I now have experience maybe where you don't yet. But also, I think as the daughter, you get to a point like you were saying with showing grace.
Yes.
Like, you understand as a daughter, there's a certain point in your life where your parents become real people to you.
Yeah.
And you understand, oh, they don't know everything. Like, not in a negative way, but
we
like
got our own
this
junk.
This is also their first time in this life.
Yeah.
So the stage they're at now, they've never been at before. Mm-hmm. And recognizing they're a person just like I am, working through a million things that I maybe don't see.
Yeah.
So having that grace to be like, yes, they're my mom and dad. And like, in some areas, they should know best and they should be there for me in certain ways. But if they can't, like, have grace.
Yeah. Well, the Bible even says in Matthew, I believe it's 7, says how to the level at which we judge others, we will be judged ourselves.
Yeah.
And that includes this relationship right here. And I find that to be a very humbling verse because it's like, what right do I have to judge you? Or, you know, and that doesn't mean like, hey, we don't talk about things or things like that, but it's actually not my place, even though I have been your mom, to be your judge and jury. That's not what my God-given, you know, authority as a mother is at this stage of the life. It's to pray over you, to love you, to, you know what I mean? To support you and what God directs you to do. Make you soup when you're sick. Yeah. Kelsey, I am putting you on the spot with this question, but
that's okay.
What advice would you offer to an adult daughter or son, for that matter, who doesn't have a great relationship with their parents at this point, and how they can pursue that, or how they can, like, maybe have that conversation with their parents.
Yeah. I would say don't be afraid to reach out first. And I think you would need to be, this is like outside of if you've had a rough upbringing or there's trauma involved or like fresh wounds, if you're to a place where like maybe you've been going to therapy and you feel pretty healed up, you've been sitting with the Lord, like, and you're like, oh, I just want to work to have a better relationship, then realizing that, like, it comes back again, have grace for them, that your mom or your dad or whoever might not know how to reach out to you because of all the history you've had as a kid. And so not being afraid to be like, hey, mom, I'd love to go hang out. Hey, I'd love to have you guys over for dinner. And, or I'd love to, even saying, I'd like to have a more serious conversation. Can we talk about this? Like, just kind of starting there. And then obviously it's case by case. You would hope that they respond well, but some parents are stuck in different things. And so after that initial meeting and you're giving it a try, if it goes well, great. Keep having conversations, keep hanging out. And if it doesn't, great. Pray.
Yeah.
Try again, but maybe not as often.
Like, yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that does. I think a lot of times, at least as a parent, like, you and I have had some very open conversations about areas in your childhood where I caused hurt or I did things that were harmful to, you know, your well-being without realizing it, recognizing it. And I'd venture to say maybe there are other parents out there who don't understand maybe some of the things. We do what we know, or what we, you know, we do the best we can, most people. And so you don't realize that, at least I'll speak for myself. I had a lot of brokenness in my life because of some things that happened to me in my childhood outside of my home that caused a lot of hurt. And so I didn't realize how much that impacted the way that I viewed life, the way that I reacted, responded, did all the things. And it's just only been in the last several years that God has started to bring some really deep healing in my heart. But that's also allowed me to have space and capacity to then hear how I hurt you and how I affected you. So even as a parent, like, I would encourage you, if you haven't even had a good reflection of yourself and your life and maybe some of the things that you have done over the years, have grace for yourself, but also have a willingness to listen or to ask questions to your kids. Like, hey, are there some areas where I may have caused you hurt, you know? And then be willing to be humble and apologize. You know, that I think can go a really long way.
Yeah. And coming back from the perspective of a daughter, in the day and age where we are discovering all the type of self-awareness and self-improvement and things like that, and putting up boundaries for those that hurt us, I think we've lost some of the compassion that we should have, like Jesus did, where you recognize you have a world of hurt, and whatever you're processing through, your parent also has their own whole world of hurt that you maybe won't hear from them. Maybe you do, but like, some parents, you're not going to hear their entire backstory of hurt and pain like you would from your spouse or your friend, because your parents, not, they shouldn't be unloading all those specifics on you. So just having that grace of like, you probably weren't always the best person in the middle of process. So maybe they're also not.
Yeah, that's great.
On the lighter note,
yeah,
something else that we kind of jumped right in there, but something that we do now is we try to do fun things together. Yes. Well, not try to, we do fun things together. Sometimes they're fun, sometimes they're not. No, we like go get our nails done. We do all sorts.
Yeah, I'm actually going to brag on you because I think maybe shared this in a previous podcast that my love language is intentionality. I love all the love language pieces, but just when someone puts intention. And so you took that to heart. And I don't remember, maybe 5 years ago for Mother's Day, you gave me a gift certificate for our first cooking class, which I think was the
first
croissant.
One?
I think if I remember, it was the first one.
sur la table.
And so we went to this class and we had so much fun and we laughed. We enjoyed making, you know, croissants together and we came home.
Learning something new.
Yeah.
Trying something new.
And then I think you just kind of carried that on for several years. Like we did pie. We went to a flower making class.
Oh, I was like, I think you've only done the two.
No, I think we did one. Yeah,
we did
one
do
well.
Flower arranging. Yeah. So just like I think you'd be surprised if you look in your area. There's probably a lot going on that you wouldn't think, but any sort of
Or go to like a festival together.
Yeah, festival,
or like the tulip festival, the
shopping,
strawberry. I don't know, all the things.
There's so much you can do.
Yeah. Or just go learn a new hobby together. So recently our family has started picking up disc golf. It started with the men.
Yes.
And then I went on a date with my husband and to do disc golf. And honestly, I'm not great at it, but I have fun. Like it's meant to be bonding and fun. And so I'm getting better at it. But then we invited Kelsey and Jordan along. And I think Jordan had already gone with the boys, but it's now become just a way that we can connect as a family.
Yeah, just to do something different and get out of the house and not spend a gajillion dollars.
Also, we love to do game nights at home.
We do.
We love to cook at home, like barbecue. Jordan is the bomb on the grill. And all the guys jump in and help. And Jamie likes to cook on the grill as well. So it's we have fun just like creating those low-key, low-pressure kind of environments that are fun for us to hang in.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the great thing about how we do this is we are both putting effort into the relationship and we are both extending invitations.
Yes.
I feel like we do a pretty good job at where you invite Jordan and I over for dinner, which a lot of the time I'm like, yes, I don't have to cook. And also, I wanted
free
to play
food.
Games and games aren't always fun. Just me and Jordan. Yeah. Sometimes they are, but board games, I mean.
Yeah.
I try to invite you. Like, do you want to go grocery shopping? You want to go sit at a coffee shop with me? You want to go to TJ Maxx? Like,
It's not even about the what sometimes. It's just about the intention, I think, of spending time together or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
or even you have recently texted me a lot and asked, like, how my day is going or if I had an appointment, you're like, oh, how did that appointment go? And even though that might seem typical mom things, it's like nice to know that you're paying attention to what I'm saying and that you care about the outcomes of things too.
And if we were to have a totally vulnerable moment, I've not always been great at that. Not because I didn't care, but I think because of some stuff in my own history that made me hesitant to want to ask because I didn't want to come across as being nosy or like being the helicopter mom or whatever. I don't know what the right term is. So instead of like being intentional to, you know, and because we talked about it and had a conversation about how that made you feel, I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I didn't even know that. It gave me an opportunity to show up in an authentic way that would be valuable. So,
and you've grown in that.
Yeah.
That wasn't a comfortable conversation for me to have, but now the outcome has been nice.
And I did ask you whenever the other day, I was like, am I getting better at that?
Yes.
Because
I
think that's important to like go back and like revisit that, because if the desire is connection and growth in our relationship, then we both have to be intentional to show up in ways that are meaningful to each other. And obviously I care greatly about you. I love you. You're my flesh and blood. So when I do anything that would make you think less than that, then I want to change that, you know, so that it does equally reflect my love.
Yeah. One last tip for this kind of part is to share your thoughts that you have. Encourage each other. In my mind, this is geared more towards daughters, but I guess if you don't have a verbally expressive mother, then maybe for both of you.
Yeah.
If you think that your kid is the greatest in the world and you don't tell them, please tell them. Or same with like, if you think your mom is awesome or you think like she is rocking certain parts of things or you just notice like, hey, mom, thanks for like always taking care of us in this way. Just try to say what you think is going unspoken, because sometimes it's not sometimes it's nice for mom or daughter to hear actual words out loud.
I think the danger sometimes is we can be the hardest on those that are closest to us. So,
yeah.
Taking time to do the opposite of that and really to highlight the things about them that we love. One, when you are finding that something you're doing to each other is maybe annoying or whatever. Like if you highlight that and focus on that, it just elevates itself. Where if you're like, actually, I appreciate that this, you know, a gnat flying in my face, it changes your perspective as well. Not that you don't talk about the hard stuff, but it's easy to fixate sometimes on those instead.
Yeah. What we want to do is go over each stage of kind of like a child's life so that we can relate to hopefully all of you that are listening, whether you have babies or teenagers or adults. And we're going to kind of share like in each stage what our relationship what it was like, what we did well, what we didn't do well.
Yep.
And then some tips on what you can do if you're in this stage right now or you haven't reached that stage.
That's great.
So
the early years.
The early years. We're talking baby to 12.
Yeah.
I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's great.
Babies to 12. I think one of the things that is very necessary in this stage to be able to help aid a good relationship in adulthood is for moms to establish a safe environment where their young kids can tell them anything without reaction, maybe. Because when you grow into adulthood, then you have this like belief and thing ingrained in you, like, I can tell my mom anything. And that starts off your relationship really good in adulthood.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like a broken record, like, oh, here's all the things I did wrong, but we're at a place of good health right now. So it's easy to be able to look back and reflect on some areas.
We're not crying about it anymore.
Yeah, no, this could come across negative, but it's just the reality of where I was. Like, I grew up with a lot of fear in my life, fear of messing up, fear of what others thought. I grew up in an environment that was very much people pleasing, and my parents have come back and apologized to me since then. Like, that's what they knew. Like, so everybody kind of, you just pass down generationally what you know. So it's not to knock them in any way, but I also was very much fear-based. And so I know that I projected that on you many times. And so therefore I didn't create always a safe environment for you to feel like you could be open and honest. And I know we were talking about this the other day when we were preparing for this podcast, how I remember as a mom saying things to you in moments where, say you fell and got hurt because you were doing something that I had said not to do. Mm-hmm. Instead of like creating that safety, and I know this isn't necessarily what we're just talking about, but instead of creating that safety, I instantly was like, well, if you wouldn't have done that, you wouldn't have fallen and got hurt. Instead of having compassion and creating safety so that there's safety in other areas, I was quick, and I apologized the other day to her because I was like, I literally can remember having that rustle in my head as I'm saying the words out loud, like, why are you saying that to her? That sounds awful. And yet I kept doing it because it was just what was in me. So safety, what does that look like?
Safety.
What are some ways as a...
I want to disclaim, I'm not trying to tell you how to parent your kids.
Yes.
But I'm not a mom yet. I have worked with a lot of children in many like professional therapy type places, nanny type places, daycare type places. And I am a therapist in training. So from that, my opinion is that we are not saying never discipline your child.
No.
Always have, like, don't be a permissive parent. But I'm also not saying don't be an authoritarian parent.
Yep.
We like authoritative. That's the middle ground, which is where you are loving and you are kind and you meet their needs, but then you also set boundaries to help them. So when I think of establishing a safe environment, it is allowing a moment for connection rather than reacting to the behavior.
Yep.
And recognizing that you can acknowledge the emotion that your child is feeling without empowering their behavior.
Can you give an example of this?
So say that little Johnny jumps off the back of the couch, and you have already told him not to do it a few times, and he jumps off the back of the couch and bumps his head and he starts crying. If if you're afraid of empowering the behavior, you're going to be like, oh, see, like kind of what you would have told me. See, I told you not to do that. Like, this is why we listen to mom. And kind of come down hard.
Right.
When in reality, you could take 10 seconds to go, oh, buddy, are you all right? That probably scared you.
Yeah.
And then just like, I'm not saying, oh, are you fine? Don't baby him. But like, take a minute to acknowledge, what did that make you feel? Oh, scared. Oh, afraid. Oh, sad. Oh, yeah. See, that's why we shouldn't really jump off the couch.
Right.
And like, kind of like explaining more, like a lot of kids just need some explanation of, this is why we don't do this.
Yep.
I know there's a generation where it's, you just do what I say and that's the end.
Yep.
And I understand that there are moments for that. But yes, most of the time, a child is experiencing a million things, often for the first time at the same time as they're going about life. And they just want to know, they need to be reassured. What is going on? Am I safe? What, like, that's kind of the main things. So I think taking a moment just to say, oh, what are you feeling? What's going on? Like, teaching them to be self-aware. Oh, that scared me. Oh, I shouldn't do that because this. And then obviously, if they're acting crazy, I'm not saying don't be like, listen, do that again and know this. Sure. Like, I'm not saying not to use that kind of thing. But
I think even giving them a minute to acknowledge their emotions. I know many times it was like, oh, don't cry. Don't do that. Don't, you know, and again, that's all I knew. So it's, I'm not like looking down on myself, but I can look back and go, man, I wish I had known some of these things back then. However, we're having the conversations now. Like, what is a good way that, say, someone comes home from school and they've had a really bad day and they're angry? Like, how do you help them sit in that pain, but then also,
I think starting teaching them young, like the perspective of, hey, I'm always here for you and we can always work things out together.
Mm.
You can bring me anything and I won't be mad. I'll be here for you and I'll work it out. And then staying true to that, like if you start young, giving them a place to come and fess up to you rather than you have to suss them out and get them in trouble, then if you create that environment in your house, then they'll go, oh, mom, I ate this and I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
Instead of flipping out and being mad at them, oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about it. Why did you do that? And let's work it out. Let's clean up your mess. I'm not saying you can't teach them.
Sure.
Like that they make messes, but it's a, hey, I'm going to teach you how you can recognize when you've made a mess and then let's walk it out together so you know how to clean it up.
Yeah.
Rather than, you did something bad, go to your room alone, because that's not what the Lord does with us.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's what we should be doing with our kids.
Yep.
But again, that's my two cents.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. So creating safety at home, that is important. And that leads us to the next kind of point.
Yes. Keeping your word, because this establishes a thought later on that they can always count on you when they're adults. If you have memories of your mom or your dad never showing up to your recital when they said they would, never showing up to their games when they said they would, I guarantee you, you are not running to them as an adult for things because you don't think they're going to be there.
That's
so
good.
And I know things happen. I'm not trying to shame anybody that like think schedules happen, but try like hell to show up when you say that you will. If you have planned, hey, on Friday, we're going to go do this together, do not forsake that time for something else.
Yeah.
Very few things I would imagine would be more important.
Well, and I think it's recognizing family is priority. And so we were talking again the other day about this, how when you guys were younger, we were in full-time ministry and we ran a business and I taught piano lessons. So our life was very full and it was definitely an area of guilt that I carried, always feeling like we weren't giving you guys the best of ourselves. But one of the things that we did for a while, and then the Lord really convicted me, was, you know, a couple would call in crisis. And there were definitely many occasions where we would have to postpone a family night or a family outing because someone called and their marriage was in crisis and we would have to drop everything and go over there. I say we have to. We felt we had to. Mm. And then I came to a place where I realized actually their crisis is not our crisis. And actually what is most important and most valuable to us is our word to you guys. So we had to shift our perspective and shift our choices So when someone would call or someone would reach out and need us, say, hey, actually tonight is our family night and we're not available. We can meet with you tomorrow morning when the kids are at school or whatever that looked like. But just shifting that and then making sure that our time with you guys and our like family nights that we did once a week mm-hmm. when you were younger were valuable and at the top of our priority list.
Yeah, that's very important. Also, just connection, fostering connection with your mm-hmm. kids, being interested in things that matter to them is yeah. super important. If you have a boy and you're a mom and you don't give two craps about dinosaurs, just learn a few yeah. names so that you can connect with him and be interested, or
yeah.
finding something that you can connect with your daughters and or be interested in whatever sticker book they like if they're younger, you know?
Also, I'd like to say a point to this too is they know when they're sharing with you and you are not giving them your full attention, you're texting on the side or you're scrolling Instagram. Like, yeah, buddy.
Oh, for sure they know.
They're very aware of that, you know? And I know this because I've had these conversations with my children now as adults. And also just the conviction of the Lord along the way, where there were times where probably more with Jaden because he is a boy. And Kelsey and I, like we talked about this, we have a lot more in common. So it was easier to relate. Not that mm-hmm. I don't love Jaden any less at all, but he was into like car racing and like things that boy stuff. Yeah. So I had to work hard to like figure out how I could find common ground or just even learn, like you said, taking time to learn about these things or trying to find out like what's your favorite bands and actually listening to the music so that I had an interest in the things that he cared about and vice versa. So invest into their interest. You know what I mean? There were many times where we invested our time, our resources, our talent, our creativity into the things. We built Jaden this car out of wood. Like Jamie and him went to the junkyard and got a car seat out of an actual car.
I forgot about that.
And they built it was for a video game, but it made you feel like you were sitting in an actual car.
Like when you would go to the arcade and you would sit in like a makeshift car. That's what they made. Yeah.
And to be honest, it was kind of inconvenient because the thing was huge and it filled up in the living room.
It was huge.
But also every time I saw it, I was like that's something special we did. I say we. Really, Jamie and Jaden did. I don't think I had much to play in that. That they connected on. It's a moment and a memory, you know, that they got to spend doing together.
Yeah. And I want to say there are grace for your mistakes. So if if you're in the middle of the season or you're past it and you're like, oh, dang, I didn't do any of these things. While there are parts of younger childhood that I have recognized as an adult impacted me, when I look back at my childhood and mom saying, oh, I said this to you, I'm like, I don't remember that. Yeah. Like my early years were like amazing. I loved them. I only have fond memories of that. So don't be too sad if you feel like you didn't do too great. And it's not, you know, you can always apologize.
This isn't meant to be a heavy, we are sharing our mistakes, but we're in such a good place now that we recognize the work of God's grace in our lives and his redemption and what happens. So we want to encourage you not to mom shame you in any way.
Yeah.
Because mom guilt is not from the Lord. And that's not what we are to live under. And we'll talk about that in a bit.
Not to get a little heavier, but we're going to go to the teenage years now. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Which were the toughest for me.
Yeah. I'm going to let you share first.
Sure. The teenage years for me are where a lot of my pain points in my life stemmed from. Now I know, as I have gone through different courses in getting my master's and I've had to analyze my own life developmentally, from a psychology standpoint, your middle school years are when your identity starts to form, but it's based off of the friendships that you make. As far as like cognitively, and I had the worst time. I had just moved to America, so I'm like trying to figure out American schooling system and like everything being different, trying to make friends. And I had the most drama from like,
yes, you did.
At least grade 6 and 7. I don't really, I'm sure in 8th too, I had switched schools at that point. But like that, I recognize now looking back, those 3 years for me, instead of helping me establish an identity, just left me like really hurt and really in a place of mistrust with the world and with friendship. So I now recognize that started me off in a bad spot going further. In the midst of that, I have now recognized that you guys parented out of fear.
Yes.
And so you guys were controlling, thinking you're protecting me. And I'm like, get off my back. Like,
yeah. We were terrified that you would end up in the world or make a mistake so big. Yeah. So honestly, we did. And again, we did what we thought was best at the time, but we can look back and go, yeah, we were definitely too much of a hand on you.
Yeah. Which all that, like to say, I already had internal struggles then coupled with, I felt like they were trying to control every part of my life. And I just felt like, everyone get off my back and let me just do what I want to do. Like I didn't have a sense of identity and I was desperate for, I need some individuality. I need this. And I know that I was mean during that season because I was in constant turmoil within myself. Mm. I knew the Lord. I've known him since I was 4, but I didn't know. I had forgotten relationship with him in that season. So I got very tired of religion and rules that I was surrounded in because that's all I saw. I didn't experience the unconditional love of the Lord at that time. I experienced like just very cookie cutter rules, religion. This is what we do. This is what you don't do. We're not really going to tell you why, but like that kind of stuff. So all of that just made me like, everyone's annoying me. I'm just going to go do what I want to do.
I think we all had some tears during those years.
Yes. So that's my perspective of those years. And I think teenage years are just hard, no matter who you are, no matter if you're the best parent who does a bunch of things right. When you get to teenage years, it is that struggle for freedom. Like the teenager is wanting some independence, but also as a parent, you can speak to this more. Like you have to protect them while also trying to give them, like, can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. I think for me, these were the greatest years I dealt with mom guilt as well, because it was intense. Like every day that you'd come home from middle school, I would know instantly by the way that you said my name in a text, what kind of day it had been. If you did mama in bold letters, it was usually you just already like unraveling because there were some mean girls and they were very unkind, sadly.
My tender little heart.
I know. And yeah, I'm going to leave that. I'm not going to say any more about that.
We won't.
But
they're blessed.
It was really hard to watch you walk through that. And I think even watching the traumatic experience made me want to protect you even more.
Right.
Which, again, not necessarily the right way. But I think there was such a fear, not because you weren't a good child or a good person, because you actually were. We would always say, we can't believe like our kids are so well behaved. They do all these things. And yet there was such a fear that you would do something wrong or do something bad, which I don't really know where that fear came from, because it wasn't because of you. It was really in spite of you that would, you know, keep us. And there were times where those rules were helpful, you know, when boys were texting you inappropriate things. And so, you know, we're not saying don't have rules and don't have boundaries.
Not at all. Please have rules.
And sometimes your kids will not understand. And we probably did go too far, but also you needed to have some guidance and some,
for sure.
You know what I mean? So it is a tough season of life.
Yes.
And I would say this, pray, surrender your child to the Lord.
Yeah.
There were many times where I maybe wouldn't know what was going on, but I would sense something as I prayed for Kels that, hey, something's not quite right. I don't know what it is. And I could tell you like, oh, something isn't right. And I would just keep praying. And eventually something would come out. Either she would come share or whatever. And I would be like, ah, okay. And then things would kind of let up and I would sense, you know. And so be aware when the Lord is kind of prompting your heart to just pray into it and ask the Lord to show. And I would always pray the scripture, let every hidden thing be revealed. So I'm like, Lord, let whatever is not right, whatever is not of you, to come to the surface so that, you know, and protect her, keep her safe. Like, and ultimately, our child belongs to the Lord first and foremost.
Yeah.
So yes, we have been given this human being to steward and to guide, but ultimately, they belong to the Lord.
Kind of annoying having a praying mom. Can't get away with anything. Not that I really tried. I mean, something.
I mean, it was always a matter of time before Kelsey would come and whatever
like,
she would
I thought
do.
Something was off. I'm like, ugh, whatever. Like, I could it's never true. Look them in the eyes, A, because I was a bad liar, and B, because I knew that they probably already knew.
Also, you got always extra loving.
Yeah, because I felt
us.
Guilty inside.
I know, right?
And I was but like, that's, ooh, no, honestly, like, I was very, that's why I think I struggled so much is because I was constantly at turmoil within myself of there is 3/4 of me that knows, like I know the talk of the Lord. I know the relationship in this way.
Yep.
But the 1/4 of me that was like, well, but that's not what we're experiencing.
Yes.
So let's just be a little crazy. Like, yeah. And that side was winning. But then I would like do these things and then I would be like, oh, I'm the worst thing in the world. I'm not even going to heaven. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't like, you know, like that was kind of my turmoil. But just take heart and realize that if it is a struggle right now, there are some things that your child will understand when they are later in life. There's things now I look back that I was annoyed with as a kid and I'm like, oh yeah, for sure. I'm doing that with my kid. Like, I know why you did that. That makes sense. And there's other things where I'm like, okay.
I'm not doing that.
That was sucked. But just obviously every child is different.
But sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
I just say, I'd also like to encourage you as a parent, when your child, if your child does come to you and share what they have done, that is the moment to show grace and love.
Yeah.
They have an, especially as a teenager, like Kelsey would come broken and like whatever. She often wrote a letter to us. That was just a way that we liked to communicate. I think she could at least put it on paper. And there were so many times I wanted to like react, but the Lord, I would feel the Lord say, just love her. And I'm not saying every time we did it right, but I know of some very poignant moments where you came with some things that were going on and we loved you. We like just embraced you and cared, you know?
Yeah.
And so in that moment, they don't need your condemnation.
No.
They have the conviction of the Holy Spirit within themselves.
We're torn to shreds already.
What they need is someone to say, hey, I'm going to sit with you in this mess. I'm going to sit with you until we walk out of it together.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? It depends, you know, on the child.
And I do remember you guys doing that really well of me like being terrified always to tell you because I just felt like, whether it was you or me or whatever, like the environment, like
probably both.
It felt like these big conversations. And I was like, oh, I'm just tired of having big conversations. But also I knew I'm going to cry a lot, but I think it'll be okay.
Yeah.
I never thought, oh, they're going to kick me out of the house. Oh, they're going to.
Yeah. I don't think we ever threatened something.
No,
like that.
I'm just saying, I know that's the story for some people.
Sure.
And like you're saying, whether you have an older teenager or a younger teenager, if there is a rule that you're enforcing that is causing irritation or whatever in your teenager, maybe that same thing that we were talking about when they're a kid, take a moment and say, hey, talk to me about why you're frustrated.
Yeah.
And let's have like kind of giving them that space to grow into an adult where they start to have opinions and let's talk it out. But ultimately, I am still your parent and here's why.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to make sure you're safe. And rather than, I know it's really easy, especially with moody teenagers, to go, well, that's because I said so and I'm the parent.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that doesn't really foster an environment where they want to like listen to you or come to you with things because they don't understand why.
I think also as a parent, like, be willing to learn about your child, but also be willing to learn from your own mistakes. There were times where we did stuff and I was like, man, that was a really bad parent move. Or like, man, I wish I would have handled that differently. So be quick to modify, to change the way that you then interact with them the next time that they react. Or go back and apologize like, hey, I'm really sorry that I overreacted. That was really not on you. Because those things matter, having a humble heart before our kids and compassion. And we want them to have grace for us as parents, but we also need to show them grace as children. And like that should be also a two-way street, that you're learning to forge that pathway of grace between each other and compassion that will translate into your adult years.
Yeah. And whether you have an 18-year-old that stays at home with you, goes off to college, doesn't go to college, but stays in the same town. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. There is always a transition that should take place.
Yes.
So.
Flying the nest. Even though I hate that phrase. Like
flying the nest, even if you don't actually fly the nest.
Yes. Yes.
for me, this was an interesting situation. I moved across the country.
Yes. As far as you could get.
So you guys are annoying me.
Peace out.
I'm gonna go. No, I'm just kidding. I had always wanted to go to Bethel's school.
Yeah.
And that was always the plan. So it wasn't like I was running away.
We lived in Florida in the panhandle. So
yeah.
It was literally across the United States.
And we decided to take a few days of driving and turn it into even more days of driving.
Yeah, we took Kelsey's car. It was literally the four of us in Kelsey's. What kind of car do you
Chevy
have?
Chevy Equinox.
A Chevy Equinox.
It's not that bad,
and
but it's
all
not
of
good.
Your college belongings with mm-hmm. a bag on top of the car. It was
and no
pretty cramped.
Air vents in the back seat.
And you want to share like just how we made that trip?
Yes. So
special.
This is probably more for mom's sake than me to prepare herself. Because I was just ready to get out there.
Like,
but
I don't care.
No. I mean, it was really sweet, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I was
of course,
like, let
I get
me
it.
Just get there.
Yeah.
But we did like intentional stops along the way. That's why we drug it out. We like went to see this family up here, went to this part. But we did a coffee shop tour where we literally spent, I don't even know how long.
I just like to say for the record, though, that was your idea.
No, the coffee
even
shop
was
me.
Even if it was for me, it was your
I'm
idea.
I'm talking about the rest of it. No, the coffee shop was for me. So basically what we did, I don't remember exactly, but I remember taking a picture of like a Starbucks cup at home and saying, blah, 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 miles to go.
Yeah.
And then we mapped out
like 3,
all these coffee
miles.
Shops along the way. And Dad was like, they can't be too far from the interstate, which was fair because we were already driving like for 9 days. And I would have to find, are they open? Are they rated well? And are they close to the interstate? And then I like mapped them all out and we went and took a picture at each one. And we'd always write on the cup how many miles there were to go.
Yep.
And this was fun for us. But it also turned into like everyone who knew me from Florida then also were like staying up to date on Facebook,
yeah.
like if I had made it, which was fun.
Yeah. It just was a bonding thing. And it, I think from our perspective, it helped us with what is a really sad transition as
a
parent.
A very long goodbye.
A very happy transition for a child who's like, I cannot wait to get out of home. It just kind of gave us this like memory around this transition time that is sad and happy and a mix of a bag of emotions, you know. And of course the day we left to say goodbye and we left her, I'm pretty sure she was doing a happy dance as we pulled away and we're like sobbing our eyes out as we get on the airplane to leave. But we had made this special connection.
Yeah. So. I mean, I probably cried, but
yeah,
I don't remember like, honestly, no offense. I don't remember big bawling and missing you guys until Easter.
Sure.
Because I came home for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
And then at Easter, I didn't think I would be so emotional. And all of a sudden I was like, wait, but like, where's my big Easter lunch with all my family? And where's all the cousins? And I like lost it.
Yeah, I do remember that.
During that time, Bethel is, their ministry school is wild. First year is you show up and they're like, hi, this is a place where you can be not okay. And then you just start dealing with every single negative thing in your life. Not really, but kind of. For 9 months, it's like an intensive figuring your identity out with the Lord, which is exactly what I did not have. But along that, you deal with your dad hurts and your mom hurts. And so I had to put some distance between, like, I was like, Mom, I can't talk to you every single day because I'm mad at you. Like, I kind of had to be like, I know you're a good mom, but right now I'm working. I don't know if I probably didn't.
You didn't
verbalize
say that.
It because
I don't
I wasn't
think
that.
I expected to talk to you every day, but I probably made you feel that way.
Maybe just like.
Or maybe you thought I felt that way, but I.
Well, we were a close family before I left. Like we talked a lot. We were always hanging out. So I think I was just kind of like, I'll talk to you when I want to talk to you and I need space because all these hurts were coming up.
Sure.
And I had to allow myself to feel those hurts and be angry, not at you, but kind of at you.
Yeah.
Without coming to you.
I think I had to make a choice, like after we left you, to know that if I texted you or I called and you didn't answer, like I wasn't going to be like frustrated at you and like try to be okay. And I probably definitely had some moments where I was like, oh, I just want to know she's okay. And that was that fear thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think even you driving, because California has a lot more mountain areas and we lived on flat surface in Florida. So I remember just one day you were driving, I think it was up to retreat up in the mountains and you had to drive because you had the car.
Yeah.
And I remember fear was just gripping me like so badly. And I just was like, I don't know if she's okay. What if she, you know, what if she drives out? Like all the what ifs in my head. And I literally heard the Lord almost audibly say to me, is she my daughter first or yours?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. And he literally said, are you going to trust me with her or not? And from that point, it shifted. The fear broke. Cause I think too, I would always like look to see, cause at the time I think we followed you on our Find My Friends or whatever in the very few months. Well, I think you knew that
before,
but I remember just looking to see if you were home at night, and then I'd be like, okay, she's at home, I can go to bed. Like,
right.
So it's not cause I cared where you were. I just want to know you were safe. Like,
right.
Again, that was my own in issues of fear, which God has broken in my life since then, thankfully. But I had to make a choice to let go control as a parent and be like, okay, you belong to the Lord first and foremost, and he is your protector. And so it is not my job anymore to be your protector. Of course, if you need help, I'll be there. But like, that is not, you know, my role. So it's that ability to let go and let go control and say, actually, I trust that God in you is the same God that is in me, and he will guide and direct you and care for you.
Yeah. And it's a process. It doesn't happen right away.
Yep.
You don't just go from parenting me and telling me what to do and making you having all this responsibility to then all of a sudden being hands off. Like,
you still needed me every once in a while to help
you.
Yeah.
And I needed,
Mom, can you go to the grocery store with me?
Stuff. Yeah. I would call her when I go to the grocery store because I was just bored by myself. But I think also it was learning, like, you learn to give me respect and freedom as an adult.
And that took some practice.
Yeah. I feel like we didn't really, it took us like 3 years to even get to like an okay place where I wasn't like annoyed with you every other phone call.
Well, I didn't know that. So that's good.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you didn't know that. I was just being like, oh, get off my back.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a process. So give yourselves grace. Have compassion for one another and talk openly about it, you know? And that takes some work.
Yeah.
Our nature as parents is to keep parenting, but honestly, we have to really shift that mental place of like, I'm the parent, you're the child, to you're an adult, I'm an adult. And how do we foster this friendship?
Yeah.
I cringe sometimes when I hear a parent say to an adult child, well, I'm your parent and I know what's best for you. Like, because you have raised them. They're an adult. They are an adult and can make adult decisions. So it is hard sometimes when they make decisions you don't agree with. But that is their right, their choice. Yeah. And you know what? Take it to your prayer closet. You don't like, and if you're wrong, the Lord will correct you. And and if it's not right, then you can petition on their behalf.
Yeah. Like, not to say that me as an adult doesn't honor you as my parent. Of course I still do. I'm not just like, cool, now we're besties and she's never my mom. No, there are plenty of times I'm like, Mom, I need you. Sure. Like, I need this. I need help. But like you're saying, it's that mindset shift of not, I now have authority over you because you do no longer.
Right.
And they have to grow and learn how to be their own family. Yeah. Especially when... You know, like when
you
I'm
have
married.
Left the family.
I'm like, sorry, I'm going to listen to Jordan
We've
first.
Given you away. Yeah. And it should be that way. But also, ultimately, you belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
So you're his first and foremost.
True that.
So.
Yeah. I think something that is helpful is actively listening rather than offering advice, would you say? Like when you're transitioning from not parenting to being friendship or in friendship.
Yeah. I think even as a parent, if your child doesn't ask for your advice, don't be quick to give it. Or if you're like, I just have something I want to share, say, hey, I have a thought. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Give them the opportunity to tell you they want to hear it. And if they say no, thank you, then keep it to yourself, even though that might, you might feel like you're going to internally combust.
I heard you. But it gives them the freedom to come to you and be like, oh, yeah, now I need. Because in the initial stage, I don't think there was a lot of me coming to you guys for advice because I was dealing with all this, like, let me just figure out who I am apart from you guys first. But then by like the third year, I'm like, okay, here, please help me with this. Okay, what do you think about this? Now I'm like every other day, I'm like, hey, what do you, practical things. What do you think about this chicken that's been in my fridge for this many days? Or, you know,
sure,
other things. I think when you're working to improve communication with your adult child,
yes,
it's important to ask questions, just like you said, with, hey, do you want to hear it? But also, if you feel like you don't have a talkative child or you're feeling separate from them and you don't want to just get into, how was your day? And then they don't say much, or you end up telling them what you think. There are specific questions you can ask to make them feel seen and feel respected as an adult. Here are some examples. You can say, talk to me about anything new that's happening at your work. So it's not giving them a yes or no question. It's expand on what might be going on with work. Tell me about the best and worst parts of your day or week, if you haven't talked to them in a while. Or what's been going on in your friendships lately? Have you tried anything new lately? Just trying to get out of the rut of just like, oh, how are you? Good. Oh, okay. Like, if you want, you have a closed off adult child that you want to talk a little more.
Well, and as I think I want to say something too, like, we are very blessed to have you guys in proximity of us. So I think about a parent who their kid lives across the country, or like when you lived in Bethel, that was really hard. We did some things intentionally, especially during COVID, but there isn't any reason why you couldn't do them now.
Like, no, for sure.
We would play games online and we'd get on Zoom together. And like, we actually got to meet Jordan for the first time that way. Not saying that's the best way to meet someone for the first time, but that's how we did it while we were playing Ticket to Ride. Yeah. Or we did like, well, this was a really fun one. We said, hey, let's do just a fun family challenge. I sent you like, I don't know, $20 on Venmo and like a list of 4 things to go to the grocery store and buy.
It was like orange and something random.
Tortilla.
I think, orange and tortillas.
Why don't I remember
and like
that?
2 other random things.
Chicken and I don't even know. And then you sent us a list of 4 things and then we had to cook a dinner out of those things. And then I think we post them on Facebook or something at the time. We might have FaceTimed while we were cooking. I can't remember.
We did.
But it was a fun way that we connected as a family just to do something, even though we weren't together. So maybe it's harder for you to have conversations with your kids because they are further away. Maybe be intentional about calling them or texting them or just send them a card in the mail, like ways that you can connect with them.
Yeah. And we've talked a lot about the parent side of things.
Yes.
But I want to touch on when you are the daughter or the son. Once you are established and you get the sense of being an adult, then you can also put effort into working on your friendship with your parents. And maybe you don't have a parent that asks you questions, but you want a better relationship. We kind of touched on this in the beginning.
Yep.
But I remember I had learned about boundaries and what keeps my heart safe and all this stuff, and recognizing, okay, I don't know that I feel totally comfortable sharing certain things with my mom right now, but our relationship's a little red at the moment and we just keep getting at each other's throats and I just feel like she's not understanding my heart. So I'm going to take a risk and I'm going to share this thing even though I don't feel fully comfortable to share it, and I'm going to see what happens.
Yeah.
And I think it went really well, and that opened up a whole new phase in our relationship where we then started to have way more honest conversations. So trying to recognize, yes, boundaries, yes, all the things, but also that doesn't mean you just shut everybody out because you feel like it. That means like your family should be worth the risk is what I'm trying to say.
And if it doesn't go well the first time, try again.
Pray. Try again. Prayer changes things.
Yeah, we didn't just like have one great conversation and then everything was like wonderful. Like,
no,
we've had to work hard at it. And even like Kelsey said, even as much as a few weeks ago, like we had a tough conversation, misunderstanding between us. And so like the more we do them, I say the easier they get, but the more we're willing to push through the uncomfortable.
The quicker we address it and the quicker the conversations are.
That's the best way to say that.
I think.
Because our desire is to like have healthy friendship and connection. It's good. Anything else on that?
I don't think so. We already stated finding things in common that you can do together. If you, like you already touched on, if they're not in the same state.
Yeah.
I think really just kind of in conclusion, going over everything we've said before. Number one, create safety in your home. You can still do this even if they're a teenager or an adult. You can still make it where you're a safe place for them to come to without reacting.
Yep.
Build connection with intentionality. So what do they like to do? What do you like to do? Does it line up? Can you be invested in what they want to do? This goes both ways, mom and daughter. Or just coming up with things that you can do together. Embrace conflict and hard conversations. Don't be afraid to get a little uncomfy because chances are it'll work out good on the other side.
Yep.
Make sure you're actively listening to both your mom and your daughter. Yes. If you're the mom, vice versa.
What did you say?
What? Funny.
Sorry, I couldn't.
Yeah, and just make time for fun connection. People are bonded through laughter.
Yes.
So it might, like, if you can't do anything else, do laughter first.
Yes.
So those are our tips for you. We would love to hear from you. You can send us a message on our Instagram at thehomeproject.co. If this feels really difficult for you, or if you have a good experience you want to share, you can head over to our website and join the community, thehomeproject.co. And mom, would you pray for us?
I would love that.
To end?
Father, we thank you so much for every person that is listening to this podcast today, Lord. I just pray that you would help them as they build connection with, it's whether their mother or they're a daughter or a son, Father God, and to their parent, Lord. I just pray that, God, you are bringing unity in families, Father God, and we want to stand for your joy and your peace and unity in our lives, Father God. And we just thank you that you created family, Father God, and that we are even in a family in the kingdom of God. So, Father God, we just want to give ourselves to that. And thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.